and Olivia Cox and Rachel Daly.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to today's edition of Bitch Talk. I wanted to just say edition, Olivia. I'm Rachel Downey, Olivia Cox. How are you?
I'm really well. A bit shocked by our intro. That was quite formal. I really enjoyed that.
I can be very formal sometimes.
When you feel like it.
Yeah, you know, special occasions and...
Tuesdays.
And Hanukkah.
You are listening to Pitch Talk with Olivia Cox and Rachel Downey on FUBAR Radio. We're with you until 5 o'clock. And today on the show, we have got all the latest from the world of sport and fitness and, bizarrely, a little tiny bit of politics, but it is relevant, I promise. And we've got some great guests. We've got Paralympian Hannah Dines.
Put your teeth in, babe.
I know. It's too early on the phone. And then we've got Tara Addlestone. I don't know where I'm getting these words from. Who is the co-founder of Misfits Nutrition, which, if you haven't tried, is the most ridiculously yummy protein balls and protein shakes. And I would know. So she'll be in the studio.
You are the queen of balls. Sorry, it's an obvious joke. Rachel, it's like just, carry on in here.
Rachel just completely cracked herself up, which is the best thing I've ever seen.
I love clarity.
Literally, that was all teeth.
It's true. Literally, a lot of pearly whites, babe.
A lot of pearly whites. Well, at least it's pearly whites, not like tinged yellows.
It's very true. Good point well made.
Thanks so much. So should we kick off the sports headlines?
Let's go crazy.
There's quite a lot going on this week, actually.
There is.
Of course,
brace
yourself. French Open continues, and there's all this hoo-ha going on with Serena Williams and mm-hmm. Maria Sharapova, and Serena has actually pulled out of the competition ahead of her match against Sharapova, citing an injury that is affecting her serve. Now, there's been a little bit of an argy-bargy between the two of them.
Yep.
And the sort of outcome of all this is that they've both issued these really hilariously formal statements saying essentially that they wish each other well and they love to play against each other.
No, they don't.
Which is just, yeah, I mean, thou doth protest too much, my friends.
Yeah, and I really do feel for Serena Williams right now. The official stance on it is that the 23-time Grand Slam winner, who recently returned to tennis after giving birth to her first child, she did look in good form in her opening matches, but has said, I've had issues with the right muscle to the point where I can't serve. I'll have a scan. I won't know about Wimbledon until I get the results. This is another thing as well, is the uncertainty surrounding Serena Williams going forward, and is a doubt for Wimbledon as well, which will be a shame because you can see how devastated she is.
Yeah, and because it's her pec muscle, and she's saying that she physically can't serve at all. And I mean, if you think about overarm service, that really does use just about every muscle in your body, and it is almost a tearing action, you can imagine. So if there is an injury lingering, it's completely incomprehensible that she would be allowed to play. It's a real shame because this was sort of part of her comeback, and it was a fourth round match, so it was going pretty well for her.
It was, and it says here, I'm beyond disappointed. I gave up so much from time with my daughter and with my family, all for this moment, so it's really difficult to be in this situation. And there was a lot of, obviously, buzz around Serena returning. Did you see the pictures of her in the cat suit? And she was basically just saying, like, this is for women kind of coming back into sport after giving birth. It's incredible. And again, I don't know which journalist that said it, but they said to Serena, you know, do you feel a competition with the model looks of Maria Sharapova?
I think this is absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely
the most
disgusting.
Condescending, sexist interview.
Yeah, the problem is she's a cheat and she shouldn't be allowed to play. That's what I think of Maria Sharapova, and I'm sure that's what Serena Williams thinks
so
as well.
So the interview in question was for Inside Tennis, and the magazine's publisher and editor, Bill Simons, basically shown off his serious sexist streak, and during this conversation he didn't just do that big clanger, he also called Serena Williams baby, which I just think is a very sexist way
incredibly
to
sexist would you
to
say
somebody.
It to Nadal, no you wouldn't
exactly.
Incredibly
so
sexist.
And then yes, of course, did ask the 23-time Grand Slam champion whether or not she might be intimidated by rival Maria Sharapova's supermodel good looks, which is just wrong in so many levels. And really
shocking.
Quite insulting.
Shocking.
I mean, I think Serena Williams is beautiful. I don't know about you, Bill, but back in your box.
And it just has absolutely nothing. You would not say that. Djokovic to Nadal. You know, you just wouldn't say it. And it also shows you how incredibly sexist a lot of the sporting world still is, I think,
yeah.
from him.
Oh, yeah.
And also, Rafael Nadal is a step closer to his 11th French Open title following a straight sets win over Maximilian Matera. The world number one faces toughest test so far, but still came through unscathed to reach the quarterfinals. He beat the German 6-3, 6-2, 7-6. I'm, again, still a very avid supporter of Nadal.
I remember this from last week.
I know, and I was quite avid.
You were. Supporter. You were just as avid as you are today, I suggest.
I feel I've got my little tennis box, and I'm sat upon it, avidly.
Back in the box, Rachel Downey, then.
Come on, back in the box.
And, of course, the other player that we are looking at is Andy Murray. Hopes to be fit for the grass court season, which will, of course, include Wimbledon. So that is throwing all sorts of shades onto our, what was it, Edmunds Eagle or whatever.
Oh, here we go. Here she goes.
Sorry, once more, Murray's mount might well be back for Wimbledon.
Do you think he will?
Joy.
Oh, sweet Joy, the happiest man going.
Oh, honestly, I mean, he could just crack a smile every once in a while.
Do you like him? Are you a fan of the Murray? I like his mum.
As
like
a half
Judy.
Scot, yes, I feel obliged to like him. As someone who values human empathy, kindness, niceness, smiles, No, I think he's a nasty... Well, he's a good player. I shouldn't go that far. But I don't think he has any kind of personality hidden away.
No, I don't.
His mother's a bit of a momager as well, though, isn't she?
I like her. I like Judy.
You like the Judes?
I like the Judes. I do quite like a stage mum. And she does have that vibe.
Stage mum?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, God, yeah. She's pushy, isn't she, with a capital P?
Oh, she really is. But I quite like her. Yeah, she's all right, yeah. Should we move on to cricket?
Let's move on to cricket.
Thanks, Judy. Can we get her on the show?
Oh, can we? That would be marvellous.
We'll see.
Steve Smith has said that he cried for 4 days following the ball tampering scandal that rocked the cricket world. Well, I'm not bloody surprised.
I really wanted to leave it there. I'm not bloody surprised. Yeah.
Is he did trying he to though? Get sympathy, do you think?
Did he cry? Do you think he just had to come out and say this? So, again, we'd feel sorry for him. He shouldn't have done it then. Taking no prisoners today.
Well, yeah, I shouldn't have done it. There are more people involved than just Steve Smith. But he does keep breaking down during these apologies. And it does seem a little bit... is it dragon tears or crocodile tears? Crocodile tears.
Crocodile.
Dragons aren't real.
Yeah. Cool. Dragons aren't real. Unicorn tears. Oh, those crying unicorns.
Oh, I feel like I'm in Harry
Every
Potter
day.
Right now.
Oh, that'd be so good.
But Smith will make his return to cricket later this month. He'll be playing for Toronto Nationals in the inaugural Global T20 tournament in Canada. So he's not been given a total write-off.
People forget. Do you know what? I think that's just a sign of
But I mean, in the
like.
Canadian League, so...
You're
is
still
that,
getting
But is that
paid.
Poo-pooing Australia for good? Will he come back to Australian cricket?
I think he will eventually. Yeah.
What kind of sanction was he given in the end?
He's got quite... he is banned, isn't he, for a little while?
He's banned for a little while and he has lost... here we go. He's a nine-month penalty and he's been estimated to have lost around £1.1 million in sponsorship deals as a result of Sandpaper Gate. So, frankly...
Love Sandpaper
he should,
Gate.
He should
I love
just
gating
not,
anything.
He should just not have done it. I mean, those are wise words from my position.
Should not have done
here.
It, mate.
But yeah,
Come
it was
on,
just a bad call from all round, really.
I'm loving your... You're straight to the point down there. Yeah. But yeah, it shouldn't. He'll probably make the money back. Although it might be very different over in Australia. I think if it was an English sportsman, we do kind of forgive and forget and move on quite quickly from them, sadly.
It depends, I think. Some of them we do. Some of them we really crucify.
Do you think? Footballers, we crucify for the moment.
I mean,
and then we
will move
back.
On to this a little bit later. But of course, poor Liverpool goalkeeper, who may or may not actually have been suffering from concussion, he's been absolutely destroyed.
Yes,
Paris. Rachel's like, yes, and quite right.
But then, yeah, we'll talk about this because then when it comes to
it's
the
a bit,
concussion,
yeah.
you kind of then, yeah, you have empathy. And also, England are close to an agreement. We're still sticking with cricket here. To play a 4-day test against Ireland at Lords next summer before the Ashes.
Yeah, so this is all about shortening tests from 5 days to 4, which former captain Michael Vaughan has said that it's worth a try to rejuvenate the format, which is a little bit lols. It's sort of it's accepting that cricket is a little bit dull, and frankly
get out of town
up a bit.
Cricket
I used to really, when I was trying to, I guess, sort of suck up to my father when I was younger. Are you finished, Downey?
No!
Are you still doing it? I used to watch the cricket highlights on a, was it a Saturday or Sunday morning?
Wild.
It was around the time of the Hollyoaks Omnibus. That's what I recall.
Potato, potato.
And I used to try and watch the highlights. But even the highlights, I'd be like, God, I've had five bowls of Shreddies and it's still not done. Then I'd have all the raisins and I'd be really sick.
Yeah. Good.
Everyone knows the raisins.
It's a good cricket. Oh, they do. We were discussing the raisins. A story for no one, really. Just for us two.
Moving on to the NFL, and President Donald Trump has cancelled the annual Super Bowl champions White House visit after most of the players from the winning team did not want to attend. He said that the Philadelphia Eagles players disagreed with his view that they proudly stand for the national anthem.
I love the fact that Donald Trump knew no one was going to turn up to the annual Super Bowl champions White House party shindig, so he cancelled it.
I know.
I love this.
It's literally, you're not coming to my party anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to cancel it all.
He's such a
child.
Because
you look really, really unpopular, Donald Trump. And do you know what? I'm really disappointed, actually, with this, because the NFL have now banned on-field kneeling during the national anthem. Yep, the National Football League changed its policy on Wednesday. So this was like over a week ago.
So they basically just completely caved.
Yes. Yeah, so they've basically changed its policy to require league personnel to stand for the national anthem. Players must stand and show respect for the flag if they're on the field. If they refuse to stand for the anthem on the field, their team will be fined.
Oh, and that is not what you want.
Absolutely. So kind of going against what this is even all about, this protest.
Well, I tell you what, I'm sure they can find something else to do. They can't change the rules to ban well, actually, I suppose they probably can.
To fine. It depends how. Yeah, it depends. Well, it depends who.
Maybe they'll
takes
all start
part.
Rubbing their nose or something.
I don't think it's going to have the same effect, babe.
Don't you remember though? And that right, yeah, true. Won't have the same effect. But during the World Cup that we won in 2003, that glorious time in Australia when we beat them in their own backyard, some of the England players during the national anthem were. I think they were rubbing their nose. They were doing something as the camera went along, and I think it was in memory of someone. I will look into this,
yeah,
and I will report back.
But yeah, I don't think they should have banned, because yeah, we
of
could go on to this.
Of course, they shouldn't have banned, but I'm sure there are a lot of politics at play, not just what we know.
Well, there's so much I could say on this, but
basically,
I know we're running out of time.
I've been watching Scandal, and I now have. Very, very different views about the White House and politics. But let's be realistic. It is a sort of soapy drama. So I'm sure they don't all, you know, kill each other. Moving on to darts.
Let's not get sued.
Yeah, I know. Moving on to darts. Two female players will be part of an expanded field for the 2019 PDC World Championship, which will also have a record prize fund of £2.5 million.
Absolutely fantastic. Yep. Brilliant.
Good
I think
girls.
This is what we like to see.
Yep.
And for darts, I love the darts. Absolutely love it. Go to Ali Pally, watch the darts.
Do you
Brilliant.
Actually?
Yeah, love it.
I've never watched a game of darts.
Brilliant.
I've dabbled
can't imagine
with
you liking
to play it.
It.
I can't imagine you liking it.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Really?
Yeah, you've got to take a pinch of salt and you've got to just, you know, throw yourself all in there. It's brilliant. Ali Pally, I'll take you there one night.
What are your feelings on snooker?
Job done. Boring.
Right, okay, I find that interesting. Moving on to F1 and Red Bull at a split from Renault. Potentially to go to Honda for their engines because the Renault engines don't have the extra power mode available to Mercedes and Ferrari. Now, there's been a lot of stories that have come out of the Monaco Grand Prix from last weekend, not least that Ricciardo has a grid penalty for the next round because he used too many parts. Now, this is all going back to the engines, and it does kind of sound like there's going to be an awful lot of change happening in F1, certainly by next season.
There's a change occurring. Very quickly, Verstappen has... they're basically saying that Max Verstappen now is looking within himself. One of Formula One's youngest race winners has been doing some soul-searching as the mistakes he's been making have mounted up. He has also drawn plenty of comment and criticism for his errors. We're all human, it's been said. It's interesting to know he's actually taken note. Maybe.
Well, is he or isn't he? But I think it's about time. Even his team boss, Horner, has come out and said that he's trying too hard. And that was after Verstappen crashed in practice, which on my notes I've written ob, because he...
I love that you've done that.
Actually wrote it. Really, really fast, just before we get to the next... Yes, that.
Can't be quick.
Rugby. The idea of shortening the English club season to allow the British and Irish Lions extra preparation time in 2021 would be suicidal for Premiership rugby. Now, that is said by the chief executive, Mark McCafferty. So if you were expecting to see that, you will not be seeing that. It is sticking to what it is.
Good. I've
got it in time.
You did. I'm panicking now because we are running out of time.
Don't you even try responding to me.
Very, very quickly, Pep Guardiola has been handed a 2-game European ban for his conduct during the Champions League quarter-final against Liverpool. Guardiola is also in the press today, thanks to Yaya Toure, who has said that Pep is cruel. Yaya Toure has said that he's got problems with African players. Yaya has said that jealous Guardiola ruined his farewell to the club. Again, running out of time, something we will probably talk about a bit later on. We'll talk about the next week's show. Guardiola hasn't, as far as I'm aware, hasn't commented yet on these remarks. Liverpool's goalie, Loris Karius, has suffered concussion during the Champions League final. An American doctor has confirmed. And again, we were saying before that, you know, if it was concussion, if this was something that caused those mistakes, then, yeah, this is... Oh, we are running out of time!
We'll come back to football because we've got some really exciting pitch talk news regarding football. But we've got something to play, you know?
Yes, we do indeed. Back in a few moments.
Fubar Radio presents...
Today I am joined by the amazing Tiger Drew Honey.
Like, one of the documentaries I made was called Tiger Takes On How Straight Am I? And the very first thing we shot for the whole documentary was the director just sat me down and put the camera in front of me and said, are you straight or gay?
Wow.
And I was like, well, I'm straight, totally, you know, I fancy girls. And then you saw a journey of me over the course of the documentary where at the end of it I was stood there in drag saying, you know, all these guys dressed as girls are like really hot. Maybe I am less straight than I sort of think. And that kind of journey is what makes documentaries so compelling, I think.
Every Wednesday, from 6 p.m, FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
I'm very excited to have Rams in the building with me. I just want to double check if your ting has stopped calling you at 7 a.m. because that is horrible.
No, I'll speak to him, say a couple of different girls at around the 7 o'clock time.
All right, okay, so it's a thing that you like to do. 7 a.m. is your sort of witching hour, is it?
Early calls are the best.
So tell me, where are these other girls from?
They're from different areas in London. Some cross country.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in one or two.
In maybe America?
I would say, oh, no. No, I can't say that. I was about to say it.
Okay, well, I'm from Walthamstow, so if you've not got any there, I'm free. If you're up for it, no? Okay, next time maybe.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose, from 4 p.m, FUBAR Radio.
There you go. That's Harriet Rose's show here on FUBAR Radio. This is Pitch Talk. Olivia Cox, are you enjoying the show so far?
I am, and I just wanted to point out, are you sure it's Hannah Rose's? Is it not just Hannah Rose?
It's Hannah Rose, but then Hannah Rose's show.
That always blows my mind with the whole apostrophe thing.
Yeah, it blows.
Hannah Rose.
But if it's Hannah Rose's...
how would you pronounce that? Do you pronounce it Hannah Rose's?
Oh, Harriet. Yeah.
Oh.
Did we say Harriet? Do you know what? Let's, on that note...
It's a show. But we have got... You know why we're saying Hannah? It's because we've got a very fabulous guest on the phone lines right now. Hannah Dines, who we're going to speak to.
Yes, Hannah Dines, Paralympic cyclist. Are you there?
Hi.
Hello, Hannah. How are you today?
Oh, very good. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic to have you on the show. Now, just for people listening right now, Paralympic cyclist Hannah Dines. A little bit of your bio here, very quickly. You're part of the 12 Strong Story racing team by Dame Sarah Story, which is sponsored by Lamb and Watt Tonic Water, and currently training for the Tour of Britain 2018. That was in May, I believe. So, Hannah, first of all, how did it happen with Dame Sarah Story? How did your relationship start? How did you start working together?
Okay, so, yeah, my role with Story Racing is very different to all of the able-bodied people participating in the team. So I cycling is like an expression of myself, right? But I couldn't look more different to an able-bodied cyclist. I ride a tricycle with three wheels, and I've got a very significant disability. So unlike Sarah, who is a paracyclist but has a disfigured hand, I have cerebral palsy. So I look a bit like a pretzel when I'm on my trike. So I get eye-catching, you know?
Oh, bless you.
You definitely see me when I'm coming. But yeah, no, I, Sarah was incredible to me because I went to Rio with British Cycling and I was on the team and I had the British kit, and then Rio was incredible. And then the year after Rio, British Cycling dropped me from the team. So I was all alone without a team and struggling because I was still a cyclist. I was still, and she came along and said, no, actually, there's a place on this team for you here, and picked me up, and I started training with her and the girls, and it's never looked back.
So Hannah, talk to us a bit more about how was it for you coming from such a high of the Rio Paralympics to then losing your team, losing essentially like your mini family. How did you cope with that psychologically?
Yeah, so I call it the trampoline of life. During that time, post-Rio, everyone, even if they're on programs and have won a gold, they go through a huge, big dip. And I was absolutely devastated. And then the most successful Paralympian of all time, Dame Sarah Storey, said, like, I believe in you and I'll support you. And that was me, boing, right up again, like like that. So, yeah, it was really tough, but I get to share a vest with some of the best elite road cyclists in Britain, and that is a huge, big symbol, really. It really makes a difference.
Well, let's start from the beginning, Hannah. How did you get into cycling? You know, is it something that you've always done? How did you find that this passion started?
Oh, no, I was a big couch potato right up until I was 19. So,
really?
Yeah.
That's hope for us.
I didn't even watch London. I was really, I thought there was no sports for me because most of the Paralympic sports aren't actually televised. So the ones that have the most disabled athletes in, you don't generally get to see on the TV. So I was watching, you know, I did see some athletics and they can all run. And I was like, no, I can't run. So this is not for me. And so I took a stand. And like, so I missed watching Sarah and everything. And then it's a long story, but basically I found another sport, a different sport, that's an adapted running discipline. And through that, British Cycling, I became very successful at that. And then British Cycling like headhunted me. I went to a talent day and they said, can you ride a trike? And it turned out I could. They just popped me on a trike and I was off. And they took me all the way. So 2 years, that was 2 years before Rio. Well, 2 to 3. Yeah, I did my first international race 2 years before Rio.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
And what was it like being at Rio? Did you feel the pressure? Were you nervous?
It is. You've done everything you can do to be there. Mm. So actually there's a big sense of calm and purpose. And that's why a race is that it's a microcosm. Like it's your own tiny little world where you know the race, like the road you have to cycle on. You know what your purpose is, where you're going to, how you're going to get there. So it's very plain and simple. You kind of subtract all the messiness of life of like, what does it all mean? It's like, oh no, I'm racing because I'm going to get a medal. You know, it's very, actually it's completely calming and beautiful. And I was on the road, you know, right along Copacabana Beach, and there are people like surfing as you're doing the hardest race of your life, and you're like, you're not on holiday.
Oh, this is yes.
Big this moment.
That sounds just so life-changing for you as well. Let's talk about, because obviously we touched on the fact that, you know, you lost your team, you lost funding as well. How hard is it to get funding for Paralympic cycling? And, you know, is it something that a lot of people struggle with?
So I guess I can only speak for myself, but I do see it for other people. But I think it's incredibly, incredibly hard because you're trying to be a professional cyclist with a disability, which is more time consuming for the average person anyway. But then, you know, to try and get a job on top of that, on top of all the, you know, extra stuff you have to do, it's almost impossible. So most of the paracyclists that are functioning have support from UK Sport through British Cycling. If you don't have that, you are on your own. So I think that my able-bodied cycling team, which is one of the few cycling teams, the UCI cycling teams in the world that have a paracyclist on them, is just life-saving for me. I mean, it's just incredible. It's really good. I can do my sport and I can be who I want to be.
So you, of course, have now got new things in your sight, and I believe you're working towards the 2020 Tokyo Paralympics. How early do you start preparing? What's sort of your regime for that?
I started when I finished my race in Rio.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great thing, is being a Paralympian, you've got 4 years to get it right. But I only, for Rio, I only had two. So I'm so excited that I have a proper Olympiad to prepare and get ready. And not only that, but I've got this UCI racing team that has, has all the sponsors and has, and that is the most important thing, is that actually, as a paracyclist, I could never dream of getting sponsors like this. Like, so this telephone conversation that I'm having with you over the radio is like set up by Lam & Watt tonic water. So yeah. Not only do they produce a very refreshing tonic water drink, but they also are ensuring that I get a voice, and that a Paralympian and paracyclist and disabled person is getting an equal fitting in the world, in the discussion on sport. So I mean, that's the case and the point, is integration is necessary. And
how do you feel that the Paralympians are given enough space in the sporting arena? Do you think that it's something that we need to work more on? How is it from your point of view?
So obviously in Britain, we've got Channel 4 filming as much as they can, and that has been, it's given paracycling a huge boom, and it's incredible, but still only half the sports are actually televised, and there were no more sports that were televised than London. So actually things need to keep growing and developing, yeah. And sport, Paralympic sport is still developing, so it still needs to get attention and changes and reflection and all of that.
Brilliant. Well, look, Hannah, thank you so, so much for taking the time out to speak to us today. We really, really appreciate it. And hopefully you'll come back and talk to us when you have qualified for the 2020 Tokyo Paralympics, okay?
Oh, definitely. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, Hannah. Bye.
Bye.
And there you go. That was Hannah Dines, and she is part of the Story Racing, which is sponsored by Lam & Watt Tonic Water. Absolutely lovely. I love hearing inspirational stories, people that have actually gone out
there
and achieved.
She is super inspirational. And, you know, there was so much more we could have spoken to her about.
Yeah.
With her about her. because she's also, it says here, on her way to becoming a research scientist and lecturer. I mean, how on earth does one girl fit it into those number of years?
Literally, I do not know. It always depresses me a little bit.
Does she have some sort of time machine? Is she going backwards and forwards? She's only 25. Well done, you, Hannah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. Now, you know, we've got a little thing coming up called the World Cup.
Yeah,
Olivia, are you excited about that?
I am less excited than Rachel. I am excited.
I love you.
What is it? Footy fever. Yeah.
You're on the ball. You're on the ball.
Right, so we started playing some of the biggest and best songs from World Cups gone past.
Yeah.
And we uncovered the Anton Deck one. And it's quite magical, actually. It's only the three lyrics. No, you're on the ball. Four lyrics that just go round and round and round in your head.
Yeah, it was a real Dear Diary moment. But you know what? We obviously had a friendly at the weekend. England did beat Nigeria. But these are the highlights, so enjoy.
Eric Dyer, who likes to make the runs towards the near post. There he goes. It's over him. It's headed in emphatically by Gary Cahill. A recall for Cahill into this squad. There were doubts about his World Cup place. That will mean a huge amount to the Chelsea man.
When you saw Gareth Southgate, Steve Holland on the bench, there was a smile there, because that's been something worked on the training ground. England with a physical presence from the corner. Cahill, little bit of movement. Penalty spot header brilliantly thumped into the roof of the net.
Away again. Maybe he can finish this one, Sterling. Well, Kane does.
Martin,
he
there's
zipped
the difference.
It, zipped it under the goalkeeper. Yeah, absolutely. Sterling said, I better give you one, skipper. And Kane obliged through the ball with the power in his shot.
Well, that's a 2-0
for Gareth
Southgate. Classic example of Harry Kane given an opportunity. Clinical finish.
Igalo hits the post. And the follow-up gets Nigeria going. Alex Iwobi reacted quickly. And the Arsenal man scores against England at Wembley. That's more what Nigeria came to bring to this fixture.
Firstly, yes, really pleased with the first half. Thought it was excellent performance with the ball. Really good movement and interchange between the front four. We managed to overload midfield. And whenever Raheem or Harry came short, Dele and Jesse made some fantastic runs in behind. We didn't always find them, didn't always see them. But there was a lot of unselfish one and two touch play, and that really pleased me. We also won the ball back really quickly, and I thought we played from the back with good composure. So that was as good a half as we've had, I think.
Yeah, that was the highlights from the England-Nigeria game at the weekend. And you better get used to all those presses from Southgate and co as the World Cup starts, which I bet, Olivia, again, you can't wait for, can you?
I'm super excited. I mean, it's so lucky that I'm such an avid football fan.
So lucky.
You know what? I might be a football fan by the end, though.
I think you will. I think you'll be... Yeah, you'll like it. You'll enjoy your time.
I'll watch the occasional bit. We have got another guest in the studio. Tara Addleston, co-founder of Misfits. Hello.
Hello.
Do you like football?
I mean, I have to pretend I like football because my fiancé is the biggest Manchester City fan in the world.
Oh, is he?
I mean, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
If they lose, I'm like scared.
Yeah, weekend over. Things ruined.
So we'll go with no. That's great. You can sit in my corner.
Stand it.
But Tara, we are here more to talk about nutrition and fitness and, of course, the Misfits brand. Talk to us initially about Misfits because it's quite a clever name, really.
Yeah, so Misfits Nutrition, we launched January 2017. And essentially, we're about making all-natural protein products for women. A lot of women have preconceptions when it comes to protein.
Yep.
I was one of those women before starting the company. And we're about making protein accessible for women. If they're not getting enough through their, you know, everyday diet. People ask, you know, Misfits, what is that? It's quite a typically male-focused category. And we're here to be, like, disrupting. If you see our packaging, we're bright, we're vibrant, we're bold. And we're here to sort of be empowering for women. You know, a Misfitter, you don't have to conform to the norms that a lot, you know, people think society is telling you to do. And the name sort of fits in with that.
Which is quite nice, actually, because as you say, with protein brands, often it's either going to bulk up, be a big Olympic lifter, that sort of bodybuilding feeling, or a lot of the products for women are designed for weight loss.
Yes.
So it's like the men's packaging or the men's brand has been slapped onto something and they just put lean or diet or weight loss on the side of it. And
it's quite scary as well.
It's replacement shakes, which... I don't know. What do you think about replacement shakes? I think it's a completely separate thing to protein shakes.
Yeah, so this is kind of where we are totally different. So if you look at the current brands on the market, pre-Misfits, you've either got the masculine focus, male, you know, overpowering, extra protein, calories, all those sorts of things, which are for men, designed for men, but ultimately women are different and they don't want to look on the back of the pack and not be able to recognise half of the ingredients in there. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got the slimming shakes and the meal replacements, weight loss, and that's really regressive. You know, we're all busy everyday women, we don't need to be replacing, we actually need to be supplementing, we need to be understanding how much is the right, the right amounts of protein in our diet, and we need to be finding and seeking out those types of brands and products. So we are totally different. We are for this sort of active woman. You don't need to be working out. We say working out, working late, juggling a busy, you know, work-life balance. Our products are going to enable and assist your everyday lifestyle. So we are sort of for this new generation of women that are looking for these types of products.
So refreshing, because you are moving with the times, because there is a demand for this now, isn't there?
Yeah, there's definitely a demand. It's really exciting to see that you know, women up and down the country are buying our products. I mean, it's just amazing that they're, you know, believing in our products. And we kind of have four key things that we have, because we have powders, we have snacks, and we're sort of new products developing on, you know, various different things. And we have four key things that we like to keep across the board in our ethos. So the first is all natural products. So we will never compromise on putting, you know, unnatural artificial ingredients in there. And women recognize that, recognize every ingredient in there, and then trust us. Mm. So that's the first thing. The second thing is portioning the protein according to what a woman needs and can absorb in one sitting. So rather than overburdening with the, you know, the protein content, which often people are like, oh, protein, I need loads. Actually, women can't absorb as much as men can, and they just kind of excrete the rest of it out. A bit gross.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we portion it, so it's under 20 grams of protein per serving in the powders, and between 10 to 12 in the snack balls. And then it's, you know, reducing the calories so that we are allowing and enabling women to do what they want with it. They are likely to be stirring their protein powder in with their porridge in the morning, or having it in a smoothie with bananas and spinach and milk, or however you like to have it. So we're giving you the freedom to do what you want with it by tailoring the calories back. And then also, removing the sugars and keeping the sugars all natural. And yeah.
So, and Olivia, you were saying earlier on that you eat these products, drink these products.
So I bored Rachel to tears the other day telling her about my macros, yes, and how much more protein I'm trying to take on board, because I think it's something that we're not taught at school. We're not really told about, you know, you should eat protein. I think it is changing. You've got the government Eat Well plate, and more is coming through. But the big thing that we're all told is basically eat your five a day. Mm. And that's about as much
education we're all getting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, a huge thing that gets missed out is protein. And it's really easy not to get enough protein in your day. Mm-hmm. Because something like a bowl of pasta, you think that that's going to fill you up and energise you. But actually, it's only filling you up because it's that bulk, isn't it? It's the protein that will actually fill you up.
Yeah, so we work with top nutritionists to sort of educate on, you know, an optimum nutrition, you know, and an optimum diet, and protein, fats and carbs are all incorporated into that. So for example, breakfast, eggs, avocado on toast, perfect. But if you're having a bowl of porridge, or you're having a slice of toast or cereal, then you aren't getting that protein hit that you should be getting first thing in the morning to keep you going until lunchtime. And also, protein's just the building blocks of our everyday existence. And, you know, we all see protein in chicken and eggs, but how much chicken and eggs do we really consume every day? And as a result, we might not be getting enough through food. So our products are just giving you that extra protein boost if you're looking to get that extra protein intake, stirring into your porridge, adding it in your pancakes, making protein pancakes, just minor tweaks that are kind of, I swear by the products every single day, because, you know, my cognitive levels at work are just far superior, energy.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that, because that is another area that it's never really sold to us, the impact that enough protein can have on our mind. But it does have a psychological sort of benefit, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, less and less, but, you know, the word restriction and, you know, women thinking that if they don't eat so much then they're gonna lose weight, it's just, you know, we've all been through that. Girls have all these, you know, thoughts in their heads, but actually it's just about having the right types of products and the, you know, just a really healthy balanced diet. But you're right, it's education. For us, we want to sort of position ourselves as experts in the industry, working with nutritionists and just teaching women up and down the country not to be afraid of protein, but actually to sort of welcome it in their diet more and more.
So refreshing, because also I hear, you know, protein, and I know, Olivia, when you've mentioned, you know, that you're eating more protein at the moment, I immediately think, oh, is that because, you know, are people bulking up? Are you training to get muscle? Again, someone that isn't necessarily as into her, you know, going to the gym like you are, I still don't quite understand the need for it. And so I guess it is to be more alert.
The idea is you should get as much as you can from your food and then supplement is on top. It shouldn't
be so hard for us, isn't it, to get everything?
It is hard, but what is quite nice is is when you can have something on the go. Mm-hmm. Because something that I have found as an avid protein shake drinker is it is quite messy. And mm-hmm. if you don't have a set, like yours comes in individual sachets, but that's quite a new phenomenon. I've been having protein for quite a while now, and it's normally these gigantic tubs that you can't take anywhere with you. You can't, if you're going on holiday, don't even think about taking that, because it's not a nice, neat little, because you have bigger packets as well, don't you?
Yeah, but so we've got sachets.
Portable.
Yeah, we've got sachets for on the go. You know, take it, quite literally take it in your handbag and take it either to the gym or to work, and you can, you don't just have to have it in a shake, you can stir it in yogurt. You know, it's very kind of multifunctional. But that's why we bought out the protein Wonder Balls, because that's a protein
and they are,
snack.
Can I just say, they are yummy.
Yeah. I bought you both some.
Yeah. I was really hoping you might do that.
Finally. Are you surprised with how much Misfits has grown since, only is it 2017, did you say?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so since we launched in 2017, we launched initially online and on Amazon. To sort of get feedback directly from customers and consumers. And then we quite quickly had interest from retailers, which was really exciting. So our products are stocked in Tesco, in Holland & Barrett, and we're working with some really exciting channels for the balls. Because ultimately, you know, our snack balls are a superior snack to other snacks on the market. So we want to be inconvenience, you know, over and above picking up a chocolate bar. And it's just, again, education, and we're working on some really exciting distribution as well. And it's amazing that buyers are believing in the brand and the products. And yeah, you just need to look online and social media, and people are using the products daily.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really cool.
As a female bossing it, brilliant little lady, how do you feel about people coming out and saying about life these days being such a struggle and it's too difficult? I'm talking mainly about, so Tanya Burr recently came out and said, "My YouTube life is a juggle. If you let it go 24/7, you'll go mad." Are you one of those people that, do you just keep going and going and going, or are you good at switching off?
So my mind's always ticking, and I'm always thinking about, yeah, how we can improve. Ultimately, we need to constantly develop and evolve as a brand. You know, you only need to look at our packaging from day one to now. It is totally changed. It's all about branding. It's all about messaging. And yeah, I'm always thinking about work because we're sort of, there's three of us co-founders, and we are the brand. So we have to emulate the brand every day. I probably do bore my friends about protein all the time.
Don't worry, I'm with you.
Yeah.
That glazed look.
But I can switch off. I do switch off. It's so important, just having your own time. Whether even that's just working from home one day a week.
Yeah.
You know, or kind of not overdoing it at the gym. I find that gym's a good release of sort of stress, but I don't need to overdo it, because actually, sometimes it makes you even more stressed.
Yeah.
So,
what's been the most challenging aspect of starting up your own business?
I mean, ultimately, I think cash flow is probably one of the most... I don't directly manage it. My colleague does. But it's, you know, if you want to bring a new product to market, it's expensive. If you know that Tesco are going to place an order for X amount of stock in the next month, you need to pay for that stock before they pay you, and it's staying on top of cash flow and making sure you've got enough money in the bank. But we've done a good job of it so far.
I would definitely say so.
So when you say bring the product to market, did you have to get clearance from anyone? Are there any regulations or tests
now? Yeah, so it's working with sort of top suppliers, factories who are all accredited, so BRC accredited for the powders. We work with an amazing factory, but yeah, you've got to sort of seek out the right type of supplier. Mm-hmm. For the balls, for example, we work with a family-run supplier in Ireland, and it's amazing because as they grow, we grow, and you know that we're like a family, they're like a family. But it's making sure that they've got all the right accreditations, so you don't get stung later.
Yeah.
because there's so many rules and regulations in place.
Well, of course, yeah. I have a very niche question for you.
Go on.
Can you have a hot protein shake?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Ooh. You can have.
Can you have it as like a hot chocolate?
Yeah.
Asking for a friend, Olivia. Asking for a friend.
You've just changed my world.
So our nutritionist she doesn't always recommend, but she says, you know, it's actually quite soothing to go to bed on a protein shake, but who wants to have a protein shake before bed? It's a bit random. Yeah. So I, in a pan, will have hot almond milk with some maple syrup and then our chocolate vegan powder. It's actually really delicious.
Right, I'm going to try that tonight because I'm borderline addicted to hot chocolate in the evenings. It sends me to sleep.
Are you?
Yeah. It's so good. But I've been trying to find a healthier alternative. So
this is it.
I may just have cracked it.
Yeah.
So you're so excited right now, aren't you? You've made her day.
Can we all get off air so I can go and have a hot
chocolate?
Now.
Dying for one.
You're a happy girl.
I'm
proud.
I'm very happy. Tara, thank you so much. It's been amazing
talking to you.
We are thrilled to bits that you've brought in some goodies for us. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
We'll, of course, tweet out some lovely pictures of us enjoying them so everyone can vicariously enjoy them through us.
I'm literally just going to stuff my face with them. I'm not even going to lie. Tell us about the 10,000 steps, Olivia.
I think we're going to hear from someone else about the 10,000 steps.
We'll be back in a few moments.
We've all heard the theory that we're supposed to walk 10,000 steps each day to maintain a healthy lifestyle. But it turns out that this may not be the case at all. In fact, new advice from Public Health England and the Royal College of GPs has said that focusing on time spent walking rather than the distance or quantity of steps can reduce the risk of early death by up to 15% through a reduced risk of type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and some cancers. It is now being recommended that a simple 10 minutes of brisk walking a day at a good intensity is a simple and effective way to increase heart rate and improve overall health, although that doesn't mean that walking 10,000 steps is bad for you at all. A new study has revealed that 1 in 5 adults in England are physically inactive, meaning they do less than 30 minutes of physical activity a week, with many citing a lack of time or tiredness as a reason for not exercising regularly. However, with new advice recommending a simple brisk walk a day, it's hoped that more of the nation will get off their sofas and get moving. So if you're struggling to fill time between the football fixtures during the World Cup, a brisk 10-minute walk might be the answer.
So that is, of course, a slightly scathing report from Mike Brannan of Public Health England that has said that the 10,000-step target is believed to have come from a pedometer manufacturer in Japan with no actual health guidance in existence. So it is a bit worrying that somehow this, it's a bit like Chinese whispers, and someone sounds like someone in Japan has gone, I'm going to make a pedometer. What do I need to achieve in order for people to buy a pedometer? I need to make them think they need to count their steps.
Great idea.
I want
they'll believe that. They'll all believe it for years.
It's a bit worrying that we all latched onto it a little bit.
This really does have benefits, though.
I mean,
because you're moving.
Getting active in any way has benefits. Yeah. I think it's a bit dangerous to think that we have all said, you know what, all I need to do is 10,000 steps. 10,000 steps, that's good.
How
then
far is 10,000 steps, in realistically?
I'm not sure.
For the layman. I mean, is it... What do we do in a day? Oh, here we go.
About 10 kilometres? No. Surely. Surely not. So that means you're meant to be walking 10 kilometres a day.
Wow, I'm lazy.
I'm lazy. Is that not pretty difficult to achieve?
I mean, I'm thinking it might be. Oh, here we go. This is like a running commentary. We're basically reading this off the screen right now.
That's for Toby's long spider legs. 8K for normal people.
That's
still pretty far.
I mean, if we were all doing that every day, we would have... buns still.
Yeah, we would indeed. But the reports are coming through saying rather than aiming for 10,000 steps a day to stay healthy, a brisk 10-minute walk is just as good. So, I mean, frankly, you would not achieve 8 kilometres in a brisk 10-minute walk.
So I don't know, even if you had the longest legs in the land, can you imagine that?
I mean... Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
That would be amazing.
Frankly, I have never really counted my steps. I did dabble in a Fitbit for a little while, but I could never remember to charge it.
I was Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because it's just
little simple thing.
It's another thing. Like, my headphones need to be charged. My phone needs to be charged. My laptop needs to be charged. My Fitbit. Oh, God damn it. You have to have, like, 17 charges. You have to, like, have a little mini generator to keep all this electricity going.
But again, are things like that just so we can keep up to date with, like, how much exercise we are doing? Is that what it all comes down to?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's those apps like MyFitnessPal, which are great because you can input roughly what you're eating and roughly what exercise you're doing, and it will roughly calculate whether or not you're on the right lines. And that's great, but again, something like that requires a little bit of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And if we're being given guidelines that are based in no scientific evidence, then that's slightly concerning.
Slightly worrying.
It is a little bit worrying.
Teeny tiny bit. Move on to the next story. Trump's hypocritical fitness lecture at the White House.
I find this hilarious.
I do like how we are quite Trump heavy today.
I know. Well, two in a row. Thank you, Mr. Trump. He comes out with such brilliant clangers that it's a bit difficult not to. So he essentially has... he's thrown the towel in on Obama's Fitness and Sports Day, and instead called it Sports and Fitness Day, which I think that's basically a bit of a
potato.
He wants to shit all over Obama era. I love not being censored.
It's so good, and now you're slowly getting like used to it. I said the word.
But he's basically trying to say that sports is more important than fitness, and he's trying to get young people much more involved in sport. So he held an audience of young athletes and said, quote, "I have loved sports all my life."
Really? I mean, when I look at Trump, I do think, God, you're a sporty, sporty man.
Oh, no, it's the first thing that springs to my mind. And I was reading an article in The Guardian, and very tongue-in-cheek, the writer has said, although he does not appear to play any sport except for golf.
Although, like I said, Toby there just went, golf is a sport, which is very, very true.
It is a sport. But it is a sport, and especially if he was walking around said golf course. And especially
without a buggy.
If he was carrying his own clubs. But those are two things that I don't know what it
I'm
is.
I'm not seeing it, babe. I'm not seeing it.
I just don't see it in Trump's mind, physique.
No, really don't.
But the funniest thing is that in a 2015 paper... Oh, no, that's not right. I can't find this quote. But in 2015, Trump said that... Oh, here we go. To the New York Times magazine, he said, "All my friends who work out all the time, they're going for knee replacements, hip replacements. They're a disaster." Which is essentially him trying to say that exercise is bad for you. So he's basically just refuting his own statements, which is pretty goddamn funny.
Donald Trump, everybody. Trump. I've got a little story, a little kind of health... fitness
go
type story. So here we go, the non-health fitness expert Downey here.
Love it.
Sick note. Here we go. People who are overweight have a greater sensitivity to food smells. So nose plugs, which block out sense of smell, can double weight loss. A device inserted in nostrils directs air to bypass the scent receptors. There we go, people. This is why I'm paying the big bucks.
So hang on.
Oh,
so
no.
What does that mean?
Device is inserted into both nostrils.
Yeah.
It directs air to bypass the scent receptors to suppress appetites.
So I love that rather than actually expanding, you're just very slowly saying it again for the stupid people sitting opposite you.
But I'm literally just like putting this thing. I'd like to put it in my nose and see what happens. So people who are overweight, yeah. So yeah, what do you think? Oh, here you go. In a trial of obese adults aged under 50, those who used the silicone inserts lost twice as much as the other dieters. At the start, they each weighed around 17 stone, were put on diets with the aim of reducing their calorie intake by 500 calories. And over 3 months, they lost on average 1 stone, 4 pounds compared to the rest of the group. So it did work. But do you know what? I have this weird thing. So in the week, it might not be weird, but this is a good story. Get comfy. I find smelling food stops me from eating it. So in the week, I like to eat really, really healthy. So if I'm out with my other half, I won't have dessert, I won't do any of that. But I want to smell it. And it kind of then makes me think, that's it, don't need it now.
No, I think that you are the exact opposite.
I'm the opposite to this experiment.
Most people in the world, because most people, if you smell something nice, you want to go and eat it.
Yeah, no.
Like, imagine if you smell a hog roast or like a curry.
Yeah, we've got different things that cats go.
Nah, I don't fancy that.
Literally, I'll just smell your dough. Then I'm done.
Oh, no.
That's all I need.
You're just going to sniff my food?
Yeah, pretty
much.
That's
really creepy.
Always. So if my other half is like about to eat dessert, I'm like, wait, let me just...
I do remember, was it in The Devil Wears Prada or something? It was in a film and it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but they basically said, if you want some chocolate, sniff it. As in, like, just, you know, go and...
Look,
slobber
all
around.
I'm going to say is I've been doing it for years.
Well, Rachel Downey obviously did it first.
Yeah, she did.
I was actually at a press launch today for a skincare brand and they have brought out a...
There I was sniffing food in the corner.
Pretty much what we all were.
Outside.
Just heard this gigantic snort and thought, Rachel, where are you?
Go away!
No, they've launched this new mask and it is cacao and coconut. Mm-hmm. And it is pure cacao. So essentially you are smearing a bounty on your face. And the founder did actually say the words to me, you know, you might not need to eat dessert if you put this on your face.
Did you slap him?
It was a her.
Did you slap
but
her?
I did think, what happens if someone else licks it off your face? Do you think it's edible? I didn't ask.
I'm just gonna get my taxi.
All right, you sniff foods.
Yeah, it's true, babe. I got nothing.
My other bit of fitness news, and this might be something, Rachel Downey, that you might want to put your sick notes to.
Oh, I'm ready.
So it is a new fitness craze that everyone in India is talking about, from ministers and celebrities to sports stars, and there's been a couple of Olympians getting in on it too. Twitter users have been posting videos of their favourite workouts, varying from press-ups and planks to yoga stretches, and then issuing a hashtag fitness challenge to others. Now, this isn't exactly groundbreaking, because... they're kind of just posting their workout. However, it's quite a nice way of creating a little community. And by nominating someone, we have all seen how effective nominating someone can be. I mean, think of the ice bucket challenge.
But is this for a charity or is this...
No.
Right. This is for hashtag fit fam. Hashtag fit for life.
Hashtag squad goals.
Oh.
But I would quite like to nominate Rachel Downey to do something. So if anyone is in with me, then please do tweet
over
your
suggestion.
Can I do
anything?
No, I believe...
Fitness related.
I believe you have to give them an activity. Or maybe you can just say
can
do a fitness challenge. But that's
rank.
That's ever so broad.
Exactly.
I think I'd want to be a bit more niche for you.
Know it.
I don't know what I'd challenge you to, but don't you worry, I will come up with something.
Okay, do it. And but I will wow you like you've never been wowed.
If anyone has any suggestions, then tweet us at FUBAR Radio. It'd be great to see Sick Note break a sweat.
I like this. I do like calling me Sick Note, because it is true. And if you are wondering why, well, I think it's obvious why I was called Sick Note, really. I don't
do explain.
Yeah, well, I always missed PE games at school, because I always either got my dad to write a sick note or I wrote one.
Hang on, you wrote one?
Yeah,
did
I didn't go to great school, babe. Didn't go to brilliant one. But I'm like it now. If I'm in the gym, I'm very much a solo working out. I like to kind of say very focused. If I'm in dance class, I still do the odd dance class. I'm not really one to like stand around and chat. I like to kind of just
get in, get out.
Yeah.
No dilly dallying, no hashtag fitness challenge.
No small talk.
Well, my friend, that is going to change. That is all going to change.
Oh, it really is.
Because I'm setting a fitness challenge and it will be all over social media.
It's really going to happen. It's really,
you know what,
really
actually, I should have mentioned to you, I'm doing a 10K on Saturday.
Are you?
For Lady Garden, the charity. Which is for gynecological cancer, so you mustn't laugh.
That's amazing.
But I did it a couple of years ago and I was horrible. There is a theme here. I was horribly, stinkingly hungover. I'd been out the night before. I think it was a friend's birthday or engagement or some sort of...
Or a Friday.
Enforced fun, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had to go and do this extremely warm. I think I actually caved and did a 5K in the end because I just couldn't quite face it. But if anyone else is heading down to the Lady Garden Run in Hyde Park this weekend, then do let me know at Olivia Cox London and I'll come and seek you out. We can run together.
Didn't you say when you did the Hackney Marathon that because...
The half marathon,
I started them. Because you do a lot of classes, we've only got about a minute left, the endurance side of doing a run.
It's tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really tricky. And it's completely different to how I used to be, because I used to be a runner and I did the marathon and so I could very much pace myself. Now it's the short, sharp bursts, much more fast twitch muscles. and I do find it quite tricky. I just heard a plane going overhead and I thought someone was humming to me, on which note I think it might be time to end the show.
Yes, I think on that note, it's gone very, very quickly. I hope you guys have had a wonderful time listening to us. A whale of a time. If you would like to tweet us, that'd be wonderful. Do it next week, please, at FUBAR Radio.
Or this week.
You could tweet us right now, or tweet us all week, or just tweet us. Also, we've got the World Cup show starting on the 19th, I believe it is. Yes, of June from 4 p.m. So do join us. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you very soon.
Bye now.
Bye.
This past hour, you've been listening to Pitch Talk with Rachel Downey and Olivia Cotts. To listen again, simply go to foobarradio.com or our app where this episode and all past episodes are free to stream or download. Send all questions, comments or queries to pitch@foobarradio.com or tweet @foobarradio.